We are entering the most difficult times in our nation's history. You must be prepared for what lies ahead financially, because, of course, the whole economy is beginning to slow down. Even Toyota Motors has announced that they just don't have anybody coming into their showrooms to buy cars. Certainly, General Motors and Ford and Chrysler all are facing the very real possibility of bankruptcy. And understand that certainly the economic base of America is deteriorating, but it's happening all throughout the world. It is not happening by accident. This is the way it was planned, and there are going to be terrible repercussions for our nation. My fear is, of course, they'll do what they always do when they have economic problems, and that is down the line, they'll have a war, and that's how you get out of the economic paralysis. But now in a nuclear-armed world, why the idea of a war is indeed a frightening, frightening thought, because we here in America will not be spared from the ravages of nuclear war. Well, anyway, with that as the background, let's get down to our guest today, Barry Shamish. And Barry is an Israeli patriot who was, because of threats on his life, forced to come to the United States. And, of course, Israel's loss is our gain, because Israel, certainly there's nobody who can keep us up better aware of what's going on in Israel and the past history of the things that have happened in Israel than Barry Shamish. Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. I'm going to Omaha today. I'm staying there for a week.
And you have an invitation to speak to a Messianic congregation there?
Yes, I do. I don't know the name. It's in Omaha. You know, if anyone is listening and actually knows someone in Omaha, I'll leave you my cell phone number, and you contact me, and we can meet. Can I do that?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. I'm going there for a week. So if you happen to be around Omaha, give me a call.
Okay, very good. Well, let's go on from there.
I'm going to do a long, complicated show very shortly, but I can't start without mentioning the riot that was in ACCO. You're aware of that, I guess.
No, I'm not, so bring me up to date.
Oh, my. All right. So I'll bring you up to date then. It was on Yom Kippur evening when in Israel everything comes to a complete halt. Yom Kippur is a wonderful holiday. There's no traffic. Even the most anti-religious of Jews don't get in their cars. My kids used to play in the street. It's actually a holiday for children to take their bicycles in the middle of the street and do whatever they want. There's no traffic. Well, in ACCO on Yom Kippur evening, they say a drunken Arab took his car in the middle of a religious neighborhood, music blaring, horns honking, and it totally disrupted the atmosphere. He was asked to leave. Instead of leaving, he ran into a house, threw things at the people inside. In short, he was taken outside, beaten up. Word spread that the Jews are attacking Arabs, and hundreds of Arabs came to the neighborhood, and hundreds of Jews fought them, and you had it went on for 2 days, even after Yom Kippur. The riots kept, they were inflamed enough to keep going for two straight days.
Why didn't the police intervene?
Everyone's asking, where were the police? After 4 days, the police finally arrested the perpetrator. 4 days later, they arrested him. Now, I've been reading reports on who started the riot, and apparently it really was better organized than just one drunken Arab. Apparently he was sent there. The Arabs were ready to intervene. This was actually an organized riot, and you didn't hear about this. You know, it's amazing. I did see a little on the American news. Not and terribly reported, just, well, the way it was reported, an Arab walked into a Jewish neighborhood, and the next thing you knew, there were riots. They didn't say anything about what the Arab did, but nonetheless, that's what happened. There's now organized in Israel sedition, at a high-level sedition. And on Yom Kippur, it broke out.
Sure. Well, this is the way the game is played. You create an incident, and then you build on that, and you get a lot of publicity, and you create even more animosity between the Arabs and the Jews.
I don't think you can do much more, but you can make it go into a different kind of mode. When you've got a city like Akko, which the Arabs and Jews have been, as far as I know, living in peace, and turn it inflame it like this, well, there's a lot more Akkos out there with more Arabs. Well, there's Haifa, there's Yaffa. I mean, that means that Israel can look forward to what would be called by the American media race riots. And, well, you had one this Yom Kippur. It was a beauty.
Well, it's unfortunate, but I feel we'll be seeing a lot more of those in Israel and probably beginning to see them here in America as well. You go right ahead.
Well, one addition, every attempt was made to make the Jews of Yesha have a lousy Yom Kippur. They were blocked. It, starting from Rosh Hashanah, and I believe it's going to go all the way to Sukkot, the Jews living in Judea and Samaria are simply unguarded. In Hebron, the government allowed 1,000 PLO troops to guard Hebron. In case you didn't know that, over 1,000 PLO troops have been let into Hebron. The Jews there are in terrible danger. And again, the police didn't intervene in Akko. The riots went on for 2 days. Not a good situation.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Barry Shamish. A lot of things don't make sense unless you understand there is an agenda. Don't think any of this happens by accident. We'll be right back here at the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Wall Street is in meltdown. The price tag for taxpayers, 750,000 jobs lost. A deeper recession. The Colorado middle class is bearing the burden of this crisis. What does John McCain say?
The fundamentals of our economy are strong.
When did he say it? The day of the crash. John McCain has supported George Bush policies for so long, he still can't tell what's happening to the Colorado middle class. Unemployment rates in Colorado have doubled since George Bush took office. And health insurance is out of reach for many middle-class families. But John McCain wants to continue George Bush's policies. More financial industry deregulation, less oversight, and more tax breaks for the special interests. John McCain can't fix our economy if he doesn't know it's broken.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Millions of women have been misdiagnosed and been given dangerous prescription drugs. In reality, they're simply suffering from hormone imbalance. Stress, environmental chemicals, poor nutrition, and age all can affect your hormones. Do you have hormone deficiency? Find out with our simple self-test that will help you determine if your hormones are suboptimal. Call Radiant Clinic at 970-278-0900 for your free test or visit our website at radiantcliniccolorado.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning is Barry Shamish. Barry, pick up the story.
Well, I'm gonna talk about something that this show inspired. This show, by the way, is excellent for my writing. You will note that we talk about a subject and then I write about it in preparation for the show. And that's what happened this week. I wrote about, it began with the murder of Dr. Dabi Neve. This was in October of 2007. He was in his car outside his home in Ramat Gan, and he was shot to death. Now, Dr. Dabi Neve was head of the pain department of Iqaluf Hospital. Iqaluf Hospital is where Rabin died. And the doctors there have been forced into a cover-up that has been killing them. And I reported that this week the supposed murderers of Dabi Neve were released by the court, the judge said there was no evidence against them. I don't know why they were arrested. They were released. And there were four Arabs and a Jew, and they didn't do it. They were patsies. They were set up. And I spoke about Dr. Dabi Neve, and then I put it into the context of, boy, have there been a lot of dead department heads at Iqaluf Hospital. And let's talk about that. Now, the two main doctors in the Rabin drama are the chief surgeon, the man who operated on Rabin, Dr. Mordechai Gutman, and Dr. Kluger. By the way, they're both, Mordechai Gutman is the deputy director of surgery too, and Gutman is the director of cardiac surgery at Iqaluf Hospital. Just to put a little background into these people, and now Mordechai Gutman wrote the famous notes that Rabin was shot three times, and the third shot coming from the front. He wrote the surgeon's notes. Dr. Kluger, at 2 in the morning, changed the surgeon's notes. In short, there was no spinal injury at 2 in the morning when Kluger's report was submitted. So Goodman wrote the truth, Kluger changed his report, and both of them became very, very sick. Within 3 years of the murder in 1997, I read a report in a magazine called Kol HaShavua, which means this week, that rumors are flying from Iqaluf Hospital that Drs. Goodman and Kluger are dying. They both have lost 60 or 70 pounds. Nobody understands how they got so sick. The hospital is making every attempt to cure them, but they keep losing weight. And, well, I'm going to give a little story from a lecture. This, to me, was extremely significant. What these doctors both caught AIDS. They were losing weight, and nobody knew why. And I mentioned the fact that the two doctors, one who wrote the famous surgeon's report and one who wrote a famous denial of the surgeon's report, who obviously was told to do that, no doctor would deliberately counteract his chief surgeon. That doesn't happen in hospitals where the surgeon's report is completely different from the director's report. Nonetheless, I said this lecture that both of them seem to be dying. And at the end of the lecture, a nurse came up to me from Iqaluf Hospital. And she said, how did you know about Drs. Goodman and Kluger? We've sent their biopsies all over the world. Nobody can tell us what's making them so sick. And she said, but nobody knows about this. How did you know about this? And I told her it was actually in the Kola Shavua, that a religious worker at Ikharov Hospital had opened his mouth. And in the end, by the way, they were sent out of the country, the two of them, and they came back cured. But both of them were very, very near death, and I did not view that as a coincidence, as well I shouldn't have. But now we will go to these. Really, it's quite a famous story that I wrote, and nobody else saw the suspicions, and that's the murder of the former director of the Ikharov Hospital ER department. At the time of Rabin's murder, she was director of the health fund of the hospital, Dr. Dalia Ayel. Now, when people say that, well, she wasn't part of the Rabin team, to me it doesn't matter. She was a high-ranking director of the hospital. She would sit down with other directors of the hospital. She would hear the gossip. She would open her mouth. Same with Dr. Neve. It doesn't matter if he wrote the cover-up or didn't write the cover-up. He knew what happened. Now, Dr. Ayel's murder is something out of this world. So just follow this. It's a remarkable story. January 10th of the year 2003, Dalia Ayel and her husband Nimrod were found dead in their beds. They were clutching each other, dead. Their son Asaf comes in late in the morning, 2 in the morning of January 11th, and finds his parents dead in their bedroom. Now, what does he do? Does he phone an ambulance? Does he seek help? No. He sits down on a comfy sofa and he dies. That's three dead in one apartment, also in Ramat Gan. Now, the police come and they try and write. Oh, by the way, I should add, they weren't found for another 48 hours. They were found on January the 12th by Dr. Ayel's brother-in-law, who found the two cats were alive, hungry, mind you, but alive, and everyone inside the house was dead. Fine. I just set up the background for another Ikharov murder, Dr. Dalia Ayel. The real problem was the findings of the police. The police determined that all three people died because a bird had built a nest on their chimney, blocking carbon monoxide from their water heater. And then you get this horrible explanation of how about 100 Israelis a year die of carbon monoxide poisoning. There's no carbon monoxide clinic in Israel and all this, all covered up with the issue of carbon monoxide poisoning. But as I pointed out, birds don't nest in Israel in January. Okay? They nest in the spring. In January, no bird makes a nest. Wouldn't have been built. The whole excuse was ridiculous. But let's say for 1 second that a bird had built a nest the spring before, when birds actually do nest in Israel, is in the spring. And that means the water heater wasn't turned on, which in Israel, by the way, is possible because they use solar panels in the summer, and you don't use the boiler, you use solar heat. But I said, wasn't turned on until January 10th. They didn't take a shot right through December and November when there isn't enough sun to heat your solar heater. They didn't take a shower. On January 10th, they decided to take a shower. And now, again, what were the cats doing alive 48 hours in carbon monoxide? And as one expert I phoned up explained to me, if the pilot light goes out of the water heater if anything goes wrong, you can smell it. They put an acrid smell in the gas. You would know it's there. It's not like a hidden a killer in your house. You know there's a gas leak. All in all, they were murdered. Dr. Dalia Ayel, her husband and son, her son, of course, who was found dead in the comfy sofa in the living room after arriving 5 hours after his parents' death, all were found dead, and it was not from the water heater. And then it took about, almost a year. The Pazgas company, the company that runs the water heater in Israel, Pazgas it's called, conducted their own autopsy and their own investigation. And this was totally ignored in Israel, but not by me. They determined that the Ayel family, all three of them, died of cyanide poisoning. Now, where the cyanide came from, they could only guess. They said maybe from the clothes dryer. However that happens, believe me, I don't know of any clothes dryer that causes cyanide poisoning. Nonetheless, the Ayel family, cyanide poisoning. They had cyanide pumped into them one way or another. And that was the end of one more former department head of Iklov Hospital. We're now up to, we're up to four dead and two directors of Iklov Hospital, Dr. David Neve and Dalia Ayel, with two near deaths. And that those are Drs. Kluger and Goodman. Shall we continue?
We should go right ahead.
Now, I think I'm going to leave the issue of the bodyguards, what they did to them, to the end. And let's just talk. Hello? Are we there?
Yes, I am. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Let's just talk department heads. The next to go. Now, this was the issue of blood. It was a big issue when investigating the Rabin assassination because there were two separate reports on the amount of blood infused into Rabin. Dr. Goodman, who did the initial operation, who did, as a matter of fact, he did the full operation. Dr. Goodman said there were eight liters of blood put into, units of blood put into Rabin. Whereas Dr. Kluger and the head of, the Minister of Health for Israel, Dr. Chaim Smith, both said 21 units. Now, as it turns out, I got all the units. They were given to me. I had all the units of blood from Rabin given to me, and the truth was it was 21 units. There were 8 units given to Rabin when he arrived in the hospital. But another 13 were put into Rabin after he was shot again at the hospital. All right? Have we got the background on the blood?
Right.
Okay. So there was a real, real problem in finding the truth about the blood. The real, real problem was that the director of the hematology department of Iklov Hospital, his name was Dr. Amiram Eldor. He died in a plane crash in the year 2001. He was on his way back to Israel from Switzerland when his plane crashed in Berlin. That's department head number 3 dead.
your child suddenly vanished, and you had to cope with a constantly painful void in your life. A large number of Americans each year have to face precisely that kind of agony. So if you have any specific information regarding a missing child's whereabouts, please contact your local authorities immediately. That message was courtesy of RDS Environmental at 1365 Forest Park Circle in Lafayette. Call 303-444-5253. That's 303-444-5253 for RDS Environmental in Lafayette, where Tammy and her staff are on the air because they care.
Today, our economic future seems riskier than ever. But for a few rich owners, it's business as usual. Those few owners would put Colorado's economy at risk, just so they can cut wages and reduce health care for their employees and make more for themselves. Their Amendment 47 would risk what's taken Colorado working people over 60 years to earn. A living wage, decent health care, a secure retirement. Now business leaders like the Colorado Bankers Association and Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce are uniting with working families to say no to those few rich owners. These business people know Amendment 47 would put Colorado's economy at risk. Is now a good time to be reckless with our economy and Constitution? Vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest is Barry Shamish. Before you go on, Barry, will you go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get your DVDs, how they can get your books, and how they can get to your website?
Well, the Rabin assassination anniversary is coming up, so I would suggest you look at Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin in English, or you press Spanish. It's also in Spanish. You go to lulu.com. www.lulu.com, and there's a little box that says search right in my name, Chamish. That's Chamish. That will take you to my books. My website is www.barrychamish.com, and I've got lots of new DVDs, including Shabtai Tzvi, Labor Zionism, the Holocaust, less than 2 months old, from Atlanta, and I'm going to Nebraska. If anyone's from Omaha, give me a call. That's 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. I'm flying there today for a week if you want to meet me. Now, after I wrote this article, I was sent a reminder. By the way, the article was a tremendous success. It was translated into Hebrew. It's making the rounds all through Israel right now. Well, there were people who felt it should be in Hebrew, and they put it in Hebrew. But I was reminded of still another death, and I'm going to tell another death, another murder around Rabin, and we'll return to the hospital shortly, but I'm going to add the famous picture that I publicized showing the cop arresting Yigal Amir, the patsy, at 9:31. And on this picture, I closed in on the watch of the cop arresting Amir, and what do you know, it's at 9:31. The only problem is the Shamgar commissioner, the Shamgar commission, led by Mayor Shamgar, former Chief Justice, who I have spoken of, but I won't today, had Rabin shot at 9:50. So because of this photograph, well, I mean, what an alibi Yigal Amir has. He was under arrest at the time of the murder. Now, this photograph was damning evidence. And 1 year, I'm under harassment. It was like 4 years ago that I had faked the photograph, that the photograph wasn't real. I had photoshopped it. I had painted in the watch, whatever. All of a sudden, I'm getting harassed by newspapers. McCoy Rashawn printed it, that I had photocopied, photoshopped the watch, and it was a phony picture. And, you know, it was one more attempt to demean me. That goes without saying. I mean, I live with diminution of my honesty by all sides. I never dreamed that as a writer I would be so thoroughly attacked for an outright lie. Of course I didn't Photoshop the picture. that's absurd. I'm not even sure I know how to Photoshop the picture. Nonetheless, I phoned the photographer. His name was Pablo Bichman. And I said, my intention was that he go and say I took the picture. And what do you know? Pablo Bichman, a photographer for Yediot Achronot, had committed suicide. He had just committed. He was very depressed, and he had committed suicide. Well, there goes my excuse. There goes the photographer. And, I mean, look, he was in just too sensitive a position. All he had to do was say that nobody photoshopped that watch, that Amir was under arrest 20 minutes before the Shamgar Commission said that Rabin was shot, but he was dead. He had committed suicide. I remember the guy on the phone, too. I phoned up Yediot Achronot's archives department to try and get Pablo Bichman, and he said, I don't want any more conspiracy theories about Pablo Bichman. He was very depressed, and he killed himself. That's what the guy told me on the phone. Actually, it's not funny, but it is. You know what? You can laugh about the story, but not about the suicide. He was killed. Now, speaking of phony suicides, I get a phone call. The year was 2000. You know, I'm forgetting the years. They're very hard to keep track of. I believe it was 2001 when I get a phone call from someone named Amos Ben Dov. And he says, I read your site in Hebrew, and I want you to know that I was, at the time of Rabin's murder, I was the managing director of the security company in charge of Iklov Hospital. And I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, I've got a story for you, and maybe you have an answer. And he tells me this story that he went to Rabin's car. He said it was parked right outside the ER, the emergency entrance, and he looked in the car, in the limousine, and he says there was a huge blood stain in the back seat, which he understood had to be Rabin's. But he said there was an equally huge blood stain in the front seat. And he said, originally I thought it was the bodyguards. But it turns out the bodyguard, first of all, was barely wounded. He didn't even bleed, he said. He said he had some sort of graze on his arm, but he says that's not the point. all the official reports have him sitting in the back seat beside Rabin. So he asked me, who was shot in the front seat of the car? Now, this is another famous story from the Rabin murder, that they killed a bodyguard. And we know that because of a Supreme Court petition from a taxi driver, by the way, who drove Yehuda Hiss to Iqbal Hospital, and Hiss told him that Rabin arrived with only two bullets, so Amir could only shot him twice. I'm sorry, Rabin had three bullets, whereas Amir officially only shot twice. And he said, he told the taxi driver, says, I got news for you. I also did an autopsy on one of Rabin's bodyguards. And the taxi driver went to a lawyer and said, look, someone's got to investigate this. The lawyer took it all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, what can say? I've been saying this over and over again for many, many years, that we have another witness that Rabin was shot a third time through the front. Now, as for the bodyguard, he was supposedly buried in Mount of all, Givat Shaul Cemetery in Jerusalem. I went there. I asked for the burial records of the night of November 4th or the morning of November 5th. They wouldn't let me near them, which, of course, is illegal. Oops, I hear music.
We'll be back in just a moment with Barry to wrap up today's discussion.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
I'm saving 17 years off my mortgage.
I'm saving $66,000 in interest.
I will achieve the American dream in just 8 years.
These people didn't refinance. They didn't get a raise. In fact, most didn't change their budget or lifestyle at all. Instead, they made a simple switch in how they bank, which revolutionized their ability to pay off debt. This switch is not biweekly payments. Instead, it is a new and different way of you controlling your money.
I never thought that I would be debt-free or mortgage-free. I always thought that I would have a mortgage payment forever. I went to SwiftPayoff.com. I pay off my mortgage in less than half the time without changing my budget.
For more information, call 1-800-760-8091. Call 1-800-760-8091 today.
Better write that down.
Diets simply don't work. 90% of dieters lose a few pounds, but then gain them right back, every time. At Radiant Clinic, we look at the cause of disease rather than merely treating the symptoms. We optimize thyroid and adrenal function, balance brain chemistry and hormones, all of which can cause weight gain. Our medical weight loss program will actually reset your metabolism so the pounds stay off permanently. Call Radiant Clinic at 970-278-0900 and ask for your free guide to permanent weight loss, or visit our website at RadiantClinicColorado.com.
Why is the MRS-2000 different from the usual magnetic therapies? Magnetic resonance simulation has sawtooth pulsating frequencies, increasing cell oxygenation, improving metabolism, relaxing muscles, and eliminating pain while raising cellular energy so the body can heal itself. It's simple, it's effective, and it's for the entire family. Call Sherry Beitzel at Inside Out Therapies, 970-402-7174. That's 970-402-7174. Or go to www.mediconsult.tv.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and Barry is telling us about many of the strange deaths that were associated with the assassination of Rabin. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, about the bodyguard. Now, we don't know which bodyguard was killed, but we know of one who definitely was killed, and his name was Yoav Coryell. Now, Yoav Coryell was buried on November 17th in Hayakon Cemetery, but the Israeli government did something very, very stupid. they blocked off a major artery in Israel, the Irkon Junction, for an hour and a half while the Shabak had an official ceremony for the death of Yov Kuriel, and the media reported on it. And after 2 days of tremendous public interest, the bodyguard Yoav Kuriel was officially a suicide. The police announced that Yoav Kuriel became very depressed because he didn't save Rabin, so depressed that he killed himself. Great. Super. All right. Now, I met Yoav Kuriel's assistant grave digger in B'nai Brak in 1996. But that wasn't the real good one. The real good one was, I think it was the year 2000, when I'm giving a lecture in Hod HaSharon, a high-class lecture filled with lawyers. There's a guy interrupting me all through the lecture, and I hate that. At the end, though, the audience says, just listen to him. And he says to me, let's go outside. I've got something to tell you. And he says to me, I was the police investigator investigating the death of Yoav Kuriel. And I said, really? He said, yeah. And don't ever mention my name. And by the way, just saying his position gives away his name to anyone really interested. But he says, you can say that I was a policeman who investigated. He said, I showed up at his apartment. Supposedly, he was killed there in Ramat Gan. Ramat Gan has a lot of these deaths for some reason. And he goes into the apartment, and he's told it's a suicide. He says, fine, where's the gun? And he said, he was told, we don't have a gun. And he said, what do you mean you don't have a gun? If a guy kills himself with a gun, you have to have a gun. He said, don't ask why, we don't have a gun. And he gives me the details, which were the same as the assistant gravedigger gave me. Yoav Kuriel was shot through the chest 7 times. So if he was a suicide, of course, he was a very, very persistent one.
Well, he wanted to make sure he was dead before, he could stop shooting.
You betcha. He was a very stubborn suicide. And I got the information from the actual inspector, not to mention the gravedigger. Obviously, he didn't commit suicide. That goes without saying. The list of dead around Rabin is long, and it's growing. Now, I'm going to mention just because it's relevant in its own way. Mordechai Gur was Rabin's assistant, defense minister. He was the liberator of Jerusalem. He was he was a hero in Israel. He was the one who liberated Jerusalem in 67. He did not believe in Oslo. He thought it was a sellout and said so. In July, what would that be? Almost 4 months before Rabin is murdered, and he is murdered, and the murderers were Shimon Peres, the head of the Shabak, Carmi Gilon, and the actual shooter, the bodyguard, Yoram Rubin. Those were the murderers. Mota Gur commits suicide, and he supposedly leaves a note of like one line, I don't want my family to suffer. And he kills himself very weirdly. He shoots himself through the neck, which means he died slowly. If you kill yourself, you don't aim for the neck. That's a very stupid thing to do. That's how you make sure someone drowns in their own blood. Now, I read a report by the head of oncology for Ichilov Hospital, Dr. Samerio Chaitchin. He was from South America. Samerio Chaitchik. And everywhere in the paper, Martha Gore killed himself because he had cancer and he didn't want his family to suffer. And Samero Chaitschkik said, no, he didn't. He did not have cancer. He had spent a long time in Memorial Hospital in New York. The cancer was gone. It wasn't even remission. He said it was gone. He had been back to Israel for 7 weeks. He was still thin from the medications, but he said he did not have cancer. And then I went and I checked his secretary's notes, and he had made a full week for himself. All in all, another department head from Ichilov said that Mota Gur could not have committed suicide because of his cancer, because he didn't have cancer. So I gave a lecture also, by the way, in the city of Petah Tikva. At the end of the lecture, a lady comes up to me and said I was Mota Gur's nurse in Ichilov Oncology Department. He said, you're absolutely right. He did not have cancer. He said, the cancer was gone. He said, you were right about that. And she asked how I knew and so forth. It doesn't matter. I knew because her department head said so. What we have here in Israel is a murderama. It's simply a murderama that if you block peace, the Oslo peace, you're in big, big trouble. They'll kill you. Now, I'm going to tell a story again from Ichilov Hospital.
I'm afraid we're just about out of time, so we're going to have to thank you very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week. And
give me a call on my cell phone. I'll be in Nebraska.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course the story of the murder of Rabin is so reminiscent of what happened with the murder of John Kennedy. Of course, you remember Harvey Oswald supposedly killed Kennedy, and then a man named Jack Ruby comes in and kills Lee Harvey Oswald in the police station. Now, why did Jack Ruby do that? Well, if you read the book written by the brother of the head of the mafia, his name is Chuck Giancano, the book is Double Cross, and you can get that up on the Internet, why Jack Ruby killed Oswald, because he was told if he did not, he and his entire family would be tortured to death. And that's the sort of offer you get from the mafia that you can't refuse. Now, certainly after Ruby was, you know, in prison there, and of course the people from the Warren Commission came down. Actually, I've seen the film where Ruby is talking to the Warren Commission and saying, get me out of Dallas. I'll tell you everything. I'll tell you exactly what happened and why I killed Oswald. And, you know, within 2 weeks she was dead of cancer. Poor old Jack Ruby suddenly developed an acute fulminating case of cancer after he offered to tell. And I've seen the film footage. You can see it down in Texas. Certainly, Dr. Crenshaw, and we have a wonderful four-tape set. We have two great four-tape sets on the murder of Jack Kennedy, and we have a great DVD by Bob Fletcher, if you want to order it, on the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And, of course, on one of our interviews with Dr. Crenshaw, who was a resident physician at the Parkland Hospital when they brought Kennedy in. He was threatened, and he tells the story 20 years later. He was threatened and told he would never practice medicine, you know, if he ever dared tell the truth. Actually, it was 30 years later when he told the truth. And we actually have an interview with Dr. Crenshaw before he died, telling about how, of course, the wounds that you've heard described were not the wounds that he saw when Kennedy came in. Kennedy was shot from the front and not from behind. And so they threatened people. There were over 100 people who were killed here in the United States associated with the murder of John Kennedy. We have 2 4 tape sets on the Kennedy murder. We have a great DVD on the Kennedy murder and a couple of books. One is called The Elite Serial Killers. The other is A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza. It was written by our good friend Craig Roberts. So they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We get a great 4 tapes on the murder of Martin Luther King. He was executed by a CIA hit team. Of course, they were the ones who hired the mafia to do it. And the 4 tape set covers the trial of Lloyd Jowers, who was part of the conspiracy. And there was a jury. And there was a 4-month trial and 50 witnesses, and not a word in the controlled confess about the fact that the jury found that the government was responsible for the murder of Martin Luther King. How could you do that in America with freedom of the press? Freedom of the press means if you own the press, well, you can delete any stories you want to, and that's what we have. We have an elite. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. So our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. The 2 4 tape sets on the murder of President Kennedy, and the first one includes my interview with Dr. Crenshaw, who will tell you how he was threatened if he had ever dared tell the truth about what he saw in Parkland Hospital. They either threaten him or they kill him. That's the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. Not imaginary, but very real. The 4 tape set on the murder of Martin Luther King. Don't forget, we have a conference on the 26th of October here in Monterey, North Shore, Monterey Bay. If you'd like to come, great speakers coming from across the country, you have to have reservations. Give us a call, 1-800.